Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Global Focus with me, Fabien Yannick Charbonnel. In today's program, we'll talk about net neutrality, a complex yet vital concept that protects free internet access. So here is the story. US regulators voted earlier this month to roll back so-called net neutrality rules, which required internet providers to treat all traffic equally, a move opponents say would curb online freedom. The decision from the Federal Communications Commission is just the latest in a battle over more than a decade old on rules governing internet service providers. Immediately following the vote, officials in the US vote to challenge the FCC's action in court. Now, net neutrality backers argue that clear rules are needed to prevent internet service providers from blocking or throttling services or websites for competitive reasons. For more on this, Émilie Lestari, a journalist at Mashable with France 24, joins me in the studio. Émilie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So the first question I want to ask you is, very basically, could you explain to your listeners what net neutrality is, very concretely?
Let's compare this open internet to a city. Everybody can walk down any street or chill out at any park, but imagine if one day a huge political decision make it okay to charge citizens differently. If you pay 10 euros more, you can go to the eastern part of the city. If you pay 5 euros more, you can walk down this boulevard. That's basically what just happened in the United States. The regulator scraps net neutrality and allows internet providers to fix their own rules. We often assume that all the contents online are equally accessible. This is what we call net neutrality. The internet without net neutrality isn't really the internet.
So this decision, what kind of impact will it have on consumers in the US exactly? What would change?
This principle, net neutrality, prohibits internet service providers from speeding up, slowing down or blocking any content, which means they have the obligation to treat all data the same way and not discriminate the users.
So we can imagine, in a way, you're paying 20 euros for internet and you can only have access to Facebook. And if you want to have access to YouTube, you would have to pay $5 more, for example.
Yeah, totally. Which means that as a user, you will have different internet according to what budget you can put in your internet subscription.
Has this kind of decision been taken anywhere else in the world?
We can think of India, where violations of net neutrality are pretty ordinary. But even in this country where censorship is common, the government has recently made a statement to say that an open internet is important. So by ending net neutrality, the United States sets a dangerous precedent.
Now, the European Union says that we, as people living in Europe, are protected from such a decision. But are we really?
For now, the framework for electronic communications in the European Union highly protects net neutrality. But as internet doesn't have any boundary, we never know, because the United States could become an example, particularly in the African countries where there's no law actually about net neutrality. In Europe, the regulators also keep an eye on another form of threat to net neutrality called the zero rating. The zero rating, it's when an internet provider offers to its clients the right to use without limitation a service like YouTube or Spotify, for example. This is an unfair competition and it's against net neutrality.
Now, to get a better understanding of regulations inside of the European Union, earlier I talked to Joe McNamee, the executive director of the NGO European Digital Rights. I asked him about the European stance on net neutrality.
The European Union adopted a regulation, which means it's the same law for all of the EU member states, in 2015, and that is, it's a very good law. It's not perfect, however, but it gives us a much stronger legal basis that can't be easily overturned compared with the US, that when it had net neutrality rules, they were quite weak rules that had quite weak legal basis. So ours are stronger and more difficult to change.
Still, if I understand correctly, we see some cases, for example, Portugal or Sweden, where internet providers are kind of going around that legislation and kind of prioritizing different services.
Yeah, well, that's the weakness that I described. What they're doing is they're providing equal access to everything, except they're creating artificial limits on the amount of data that people can download. And then they can say, okay, you can download an unlimited amount of Facebook or Twitter, but you have to pay for everything else. So they're respecting the letter of the European law by saying, okay, everything can be treated equally, but then, as you say, getting around it by using this mechanism, which is called zero rating, where there's a zero fee for accessing, for downloading data from one site, but not from downloading data from another site.
Is zero rating completely legal? I know there's a case pending in Sweden, for example.
I think in the next short while we will see numerous cases across Europe. It will be for the courts to decide. Our view is that, I think unsurprisingly, the telecoms companies are seeing what the limits are. They're seeing how far they can push things before getting caught. So there are some rather outlandish activities in some countries. It'll depend a little bit on the quality of the national telecom regulators. So you have ARCEP in France, for example, that is directly responsible for telecoms rules implementation. And they're traditionally very, very strong, one of the best in Europe. So I think French consumers, for example, can feel confident that their regulator will be efficient in dealing with these issues as they arise.
Do you think there should be new rules at the European level? Do you think there's any appetite to get those new rules? Because everything moves quite slowly at the European level.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, the good thing is because it moves so slowly, they can't simply be overturned like they were in the United States. It depends a little bit. Our view is that most of the abuses that we see now should be ruled illegal by the courts, in which case the need for additional legislation is minimized. As you say, if new rules are needed, it's going to take several years, and the Commission doesn't seem very excited about adopting such rules. So we have to hope that the national regulators and the national courts will interpret the rules in the way that they were meant to be understood and prohibit the abuses that we see.
Now, Joe McNamee just mentioned national regulators. In France, we have one. We have a national regulator. It's called ASERP. What does this organization think about net neutrality, Emily?
ASERP is highly standing for net neutrality. According to the French authority, we should stick to the legislation adopted last year, which protects net neutrality. And for Sébastien Soriano, ASERP's director, French internet is more neutral than elsewhere.
So it's pretty good. I heard that it's one of the best in Europe. Is that something you would agree
with?
Yeah,
France is quite a role model in terms of net neutrality in Europe.
Well, all right. This brings us to the end of this week's Global Focus. Thank you very much for joining us, Emily.
Thank you.
Listeners can find your work in French on net neutrality and a lot of other topics on mashable.france24.com. And for RFI, I'm Fabien Jeannick Charbonnel, speaking to you from Paris.